Well, I was going to announce that I'm leaving. It's already been told. But I wanted to have a little speech about why Bethel Community Church. Why am I here? How did I get here? I don't want to make a long, long story, but it is a longer story than probably the preacher wants me to talk about. I need to tell the story. About 15 years ago, my wife got malignant melanoma in her right eye. And they were going to remove the eye. And we didn't want that. So we went to Phoenix to an eye specialist, and they operated and they did this, and she went through chemotherapy and all that. For 3 months we went through this stuff. It finally got rid of that cancer that in her eye. Before that happened, I had a 30-voice choir at this church, and my wife was the organist. But we were gone for 3 months, so naturally we were gone. When we came back, sometimes the devil does things, I think, that causes people in charge, he's after you. We were asked to step back. A 30-voice choir and a church organist. We've been doing this for 60 years. So we did step back, but the thing of it is, we couldn't believe we were asked to stop. There was another couple in that church that we were real close friends with. My wife and I decided that day we were going to change churches. And this other couple says, "You're leaving?" I said, "Yes, we are." "Well, we're leaving with you." And I'll get to that in just a little bit. For the next 3 months, we started searching for a church. 3 months we searched for a church. You can't believe what some churches don't preach. Some pastors don't seem to be able to open the Bible and preach from it. Some preachers do, but the church you walk into is cold and unfriendly. So every time we went to a church, after church we went out to lunch and we discussed that church. After 3 months, we were about to run out of churches. And somebody somewhere mentioned, says, "Have you tried that little church down there on Hancock? It's just a little small church." And wouldn't you know, these people only lived just a few blocks from this church. They went past it 100 times. They hadn't ever realized it was here. I said, "Okay, let's try it." We walked into that door, all four of us, the other couple, me and Laura. Friendly, we were greeted, we were made welcome. And then the preacher started preaching. What a sermon he gave that man. I'll probably get a little sermon. You preach from the Bible. And half the time you didn't have to preach from the Bible because he knows the Bible. And we felt that. After we left that day, we went out for lunch like we always did. We all had the same response. We like this church. So we came back and we came back and we came back. And it became a family. I was a choir director. My wife was a church organist. They didn't even have a piano at the church. They had these little pianos. We finally dug it out of the closet. We started a little choir. Sabrina, she was a little freshman in high school. 14, 15 years old, cute little gal. She was kind of the leader of the youth. We took Sabrina and she marched with kids and we started a little children's choir. Had a lot of fun with them. And we did that for several years. 7 years ago, now that was 11 years ago. 7 years ago, in 2 weeks from right now, my wife fell. Cracked her head off. Didn't realize at that time how severe it was. This was 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, 7 years ago. We had a Christmas program we were working with the kids. So 4 weeks after that fall, she was sitting right here playing, and the kids, we were singing. And during that thing, she kept losing, she never missed a note in her life. She kept missing some notes with his hand. And so after the program was over, this was just before Christmas, 7 years ago, I said, well, let's take a break. She said, something happened to his hand. I can't understand what's happening. I said, let's just take a break. We're tired. We're getting old. So we took a break. That was the last time in my wife's life that she ever played again. Last time she ever played. Because in the next 6 months, she totally lost the use of both hands. And within 9 months, she couldn't stand, she couldn't walk, she couldn't feed herself, she couldn't do anything. But she never lost her mind. It took us 6 months to diagnose what the problem was. She had Parkinson's. That fall on her head damaged her brain and caused Parkinson's disease. Advanced Parkinson's disease. So I realize that I haven't got anything to do with walking in the Bethel Community Church, but that's part of the story, because it goes further than that. That's when Bethel stopped and stepped up to the plate. My wife couldn't do anything. She never lost her mind. And I swear to God, folks, if there's an angel, there's an angel in the church. My wife and I could only sit in our recliners. She never, we had a conversation just like normal. Nothing, I never changed how I felt. I took care of her. But about every week, 2 weeks, two or three times a month, somebody knocked on our door. Who's that? Who's visiting us? It's Sister Ruth. Sister Ruth, my wife came alive. If anything could inspire her, that made her so glad. Nobody can pray like that woman. She brought a communion. She was there for us. And for the next year, she was there. 5 years ago, October 30th, just next week, 5 years ago, October 30th, I'm going to back that up 5 days. October 24th, 5 years ago, I knocked at the door, and it was Sister Ruth. My wife you can't imagine, after we sit there day after day after day, the feeling it is when Sister Ruth walks through the door. 5 years ago, the 24th, I knocked at the door of Sister Ruth. She came in, we had prayer. Like I said, I don't think there's anybody in this church can pray like that woman can pray. She has to be an angel on earth. She took care of us. That was my wife's final communion. The final communion. Because on October 30th, 3:50 in the afternoon. I would hold her hand. And no matter how hard we hold, when the Lord Jesus comes down and takes the other hand, He is more powerful than we are. So we took her home. October 30th will be her 5th birthday in heaven. Because I know I've hurt you that. So every day I pray to let others see Jesus in me. I want people to know I'm a Christian. And I pray that others see Jesus in me. And I want to sing that song. The song is "Let Others See Jesus in You." But I want to change that to "Let Others See Jesus in Me." So bear with me. The old voice ain't what it used to be. But I'll try to get through this song. Then it's not the music or the words. The message that this song says. I want to put my glasses on here. While passing through this world of sin, and others your life shall view, be clean and pure without within. Let others see Jesus in me. Let others see Jesus in me. Let others see Jesus in me. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in me.
Amen.
Your life's a book before their eyes. They're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Let others see Jesus in me. Let others see Jesus in me. Let others see Jesus in me. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in me. What joy will be at set of sun, in mansions beyond the blue, to find some souls that you have won. Let others see Jesus in me. Then live for Christ both day and night. Be faithful, be brave and true, and lead the lost to life and light. Let others see Jesus in me. Let others see Jesus in me. Let others see Jesus in me. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in me. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for leading us. Your amazing voice.
Yes, yes. You really have been a blessing to everybody.
This is a great church. I meant to mention one other thing. The other couple, there were four of us. Me, Watt, and Leah, and Cleta Kirkland. That was the four people. They followed us from that church to this church. And they were great, great people in this church. Lee and Cleta. I want you to know who those four people were. The three of them are gone. Lee and Cleta and my wife. I'm the only one left. 92 years old.
Praise God.
could be a little selfish in this, saying that now I have my birthday all to myself. We have the same birthday, so we share the same birthday. So, Bill, thank you for your service. And again, if you get a chance, we'll come and see you wherever you are. But whoever sees you, they will see Jesus in you.
Amen.
They will see Jesus in you. And that is a goal that we all should have, to let people see Jesus in us. That is the only significant evidence that we have that we are the children of God, that when people see Jesus in us. And how do they see Jesus in us? Not because of how we look, but because of how we conduct ourselves. Our character and our integrity will show people the Jesus that is in us. And that's what we have to live by, being professed Christians and followers of Christ. We need to make it a point every day to let people see Jesus in us. And how do they do that? Again, by being like Jesus, loving and caring and sharing of yourself. So let people see Jesus in you. Don't just walk around spouting, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." People hear that, "Oh yeah, I didn't know that." But when they see him in you, you don't have to say a word. Just go about your day and they will know that Jesus is in you because they'll see him. That is beautiful, to let Jesus be seen in us. That is our children. And that is part of our mission, to share the word of God by who we are. Who we are. Today I want to talk to you about our division. We are in a season of division. And most of us will have to make a decision. Now, Jesus said that we were to go into the world and preach the gospel. That is our mandate. But because of our sense of division, we have disobeyed that mandate. Not only have we disobeyed that mandate, we've turned our backs on another commandment that is very important to our walk with Christ, and that is John 13:34, where he says, "A new commandment that I have given to you, that you love one another as you love yourself, and to love each other as I have loved you, you also should love one another." When we do that, we will do what Brother Bill was talking about. We will show Jesus in us. But again, because of that division, we have turned our backs on those things. And we have learned to despise one another as opposed to loving each other. And that hatred that we find for each other, we have come to a point now where we wish ill will upon each other. And that reminds me, I brought to my memory Jonah. The story of Jonah. It is a beautiful story when you get what's in it. You see, because God told Jonah to go down and tell the Ninevites that unless they changed their ways, that they were all going to die. But Jonah was human. Jonah was just like us. Instead of going where God told him to go, he took it upon himself to go in a different direction. So Jonah got busy and packed his stuff and headed in the wrong direction and went down and boarded a ship full of pagans and took out to sea. And it says that when they got out to sea, that a storm arose so furious that those pagan sailors was afraid, and they began to pray to their gods. But it was to no avail, because our God was in charge. And it says that as they prayed to their gods, they finally got around to finding Jonah on the ship and getting him to tell his story. And Jonah told who he was, who his God was, and why he was there. And he advised them that unless they got rid of him, they were going to be in danger, or they weren't going to stay in danger. So they reasoned and roared. They tried to get back to shore, tried to get out of the storm, but they couldn't. So they finally reasoned that they have to get rid of Jonah. So they asked for forgiveness from Jonah's God and threw him overboard. And the storm ceased. And these pagan sailors began to worship the one true God. So it shows us that God can take a bad situation and turn it into good. But not so for the disobedient. You see, because Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. And for 3 days and three nights, Jonah was in the belly of that fish, but Jonah was not idle in that fish. Jonah was inside that fish praying and repenting. And the Bible says that the fish swam up and vomited Jonah out on dry land. The fish had to swim up and beach himself to vomit Jonah out on dry land. Now that's two messages already. One being that God sometimes takes bad situations and turn them into good. And the other is God's desire for mercy by saving Jonah's life. And then God told Jonah again the second time to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel to the Ninevites. And wouldn't you know it, that when the fish vomited Jonah out on land, he vomited him out within walking distance of where he wanted to be. So he went into Nineveh, and he preached the gospel. And it says that the people heard him, and they believed. And it says that they all began to pray and ask for forgiveness. And the king himself even took off his robe, dressed in sackcloth, and sit down in ashes, showing a sign of grievance and repentance, and wrote a declaration for a fast and pray. So everybody in the city is fasting and praying, and God heard them and forgave them. And this is where we get to the point as to why we are on this subject in the first place. God heard them and forgave them. Every preacher in the world lives for that day when everybody hears what he's preaching and then operates on what they just heard. But in this situation, Jonah got very angry. He was angry with God because God forgave him. This is why, again, we came to this point. You see, Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. Jonah wanted God to destroy the Ninevites. The Ninevites was Jonah's enemy. So that is why he went in the wrong direction. He didn't want them to be saved. He wanted them to die because he didn't like them. There was division and hatred. And they despised one another. But it says that Jonah was just like us. He had forgotten that he had been the beneficiary of God's grace and goodness. Jonah had disobeyed God's command, and he had been saved twice from drowning in the ocean. He forgot that he had received grace, and he told God to his face what he thought about it. He said, this is why I went the other way. I knew that you were going to do something like this. I knew that you were a forgiving God. I knew that you were full of grace. I knew that you were slow to anger, but quick to forgive. This is not what I was in mind for. And he said, if this is the way you want to do it, then I would rather you killed me than to let me see what you just did. Do you understand what he's saying here? He had forgot. God had to remind him that these people was a whole city and that they were so lost that they didn't even know their left hand from their right. They were just lost, blind and didn't see. But they were also his creation. And they deserved a second chance. As Jonah did. They deserved a second chance. And this is why we're talking this morning. Because we're talking about us. We're talking about us. We are in that season of decision. And this is the time when we have to pick a side. We have to pick a side. And the choices that are before us are relatively clear. They're clear. Blatant evil. Killing unborn humans. Same-sex relationships and marriages. Robbery, by force of fear, taking our property and our finances, promoting transgender, mutilating young boys and young girls, and then we have the blatant disobeying of our mothers and our fathers through these things. All antichrist for sure. Antichrist for sure. But we understand that all of these things are our enemies. We understand that. But we are not to hold ill will against the people who hold those positions. Our mandate is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our mandate. It doesn't matter what anybody else do. We are to go into the world and preach the gospel. And we are not to judge. Because as Jonah, we've all fallen short of the grace of God. And we've all sinned from at one point or another. And God does not calculate sin. It's not a big sin and a little sin. Sin is sin. But for the grace of God, we saw the light and came to the realization that there is a God and that God has a standard that we have to live by. That standard has been set forth for us to maintain a relationship with Him. And we should never forget Romans chapter 10 and verses 14. Romans chapter 10 verses 14 says, how are they going to believe in whom they have not heard? But how shall they call on him? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Is the question. How will a person call on God if they don't believe in God? But how are they going to believe in God if they have never heard of God? And how are they going to hear of God if we don't tell them? And then it says, blessed, as it is written, blessed are the feet of those that spread the gospel in goodwill. That is our mandate. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I'm talking about God turning good out of bad. Turning good, out of bad. That is our job. We have to give the people the message of Jesus Christ that it does not matter what sin we've committed, that God is full of mercy and forgiveness, and that He stands ready to get grace and forgiveness. But if you don't know that you've done something wrong, you're never going to ask for forgiveness. And if you don't know what's wrong, then how will you know? Our message, go into the world and preach the gospel. So this is why when we finish our service, we always say, this little light of mine. What light are we talking about? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Those who are in the family live in light and never in darkness again. You're the light of the world. You ought to go forth and let your light so shine so that people will see the glory of God in you. That's our mandate. We are the Jones. They are the Ninevites. We disobey God's command or God's mandate when we turn and go the other way. They're that way and I don't want nothing to do with them. I don't want to talk to them. It's not said you don't have to go and be their friend. You don't have to have dinner with them. But your mandate is to share the word of God at every opportunity. And if you're too ashamed to say anything, then let them see it in you. Act good. Act good. You don't have to say anything. People can see the goodness in you. But this is your mandate. And if you don't think you can reach them, all you got to do is present it. Didn't say that you have to make them take it. You present it. And you've done your part. I'm sure nobody didn't get you down in the middle of the street with their Bible beating in your head. You got it because you heard it and you were interested. Here's what the scripture tells us. It says, we are of God, little children. 1 John 4:4. We are of God, little children. And we have overcome them because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You are of God, little children. And you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're already walking head and shoulders above them. You don't have to fight with them. Just share what you have with them and move on. That is our mandate. And I suggest that instead of going out raising hell, go out and raise some hallelujah.
Yeah.
This is our mission and this is our mandate. In the season of decision, we still want to overcome the division. See how I made that rhyme? I picked it up the first time I said it. But I thought I'd use it again because it was good. This is how we take back what the enemy has stolen from us. By turning evil into good. And again he says in Romans, he tells us, he said, don't be overcome by evil. Don't be overcome by evil. But do good. Overcome evil with good. We have that ability, we have that mandate, and we have the authority. Because he is in us. He is in us. So when we go from here today, let's go out with a new outlook on life. An outlook on that we don't have no enemies out there. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, wickedness and darkness. We are the light of the world. So let your light so shine. You can overcome darkness with any, I mean the smallest prick of light will show up in the dark. So get out there and bring our community, our homes, our entertainment centers, our workplaces, wherever we are, bring them back into what God started us out to be. A community of people who love one another and doing unto others as we would have them to do unto us. So we can win, because if you read the Bible,
or if you don't want to take time to read the whole Bible, just go to the back of the book. You'll see, we win.
We win. How great it would be for any team in the Major League, National League, Hockey League, whatever league you got out there, how great it would be for them to always know that no matter who they play, they're going to win. Don't you think that would excite them? Then it may get a little boring because everybody gets expected after a while. But hey, that's great for us. As long as they know that we're going to win in the end, then we can always find them out, because when they see us coming, they're all, oh, no, here he come again. Because they know you got the winning ticket. You have the winning message. Wouldn't it be great for people to see you coming and say, "Oh, here he comes again," because they know that all you're going to bring is goodness to their pity party. You're going to turn it around. You're going to turn it around. They can't talk pitiful around you, because you can always inject encouragement. You're always going to inject fruitful spiritual feelings to bring people into that place of joy and gladness. That's our job. And that's what we should do in this season of division, where we have to decide whose side are we going to be on? Are we going with God and what we know is right? Or are we going with, well, I know this guy, and I don't believe everything he believes, but I'm going with him. But everywhere he's going is the wrong place. Never compromise your relationship with God for man. That's all this is about. Never compromise your relationship with God for man. When God's law and man's law collide, always go with God's law. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, give us the strength to be strong and to stand on our principles and on our promises. Help us, Father, to be willing to share your word wherever we go. Guide us in the way that we should go, Father, and put us in those positions where we can share your word, where there's darkness and where there's fear, where there's doubt, where there's mistrust, where there's just dislike and hatred, Father. Let us be the bright spot in that dark place. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, for guidance, for strength, for wisdom, for understanding. And we know, Father, that wherever you are is the right place for us to be. We thank you, Father, for always guiding us and keeping us. We ask for your blessings to be upon us wherever we go. And we thank you for where you brought us from. We thank you for where we are today. But Father, we thank you most of all for where you're going to take us in the future. And we submit ourselves to you again today in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.